Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to episode 200 of the Falcoholic Live. I am your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin. Can't believe it's been 200 episodes, and you know, I just didn't center this title here, which is going to drive me nuts, so I'm going to go ahead and do that real quick. Thank you for your patience, but I don't know if any of you noticed it, or if you would have even noticed it if I didn't say anything. But welcome back, everyone. Before we get to anything else, real quick, just for those of you watching in the chat, in the live video feed, which would be all of you right now, until it goes up on the podcast feed later, we have had to change the chat to subscribers mode, and I'm going to go ahead and turn on slow mode as well. It's only a 5-second slow mode. It's very, very minimal, but we were inundated with bots to an incredible extent last night. It's just been getting worse, so I unfortunately had to take that step. I don't want to leave it like that. I'd rather open the chat to everyone, but all you have to do to chat is just subscribe for 5 minutes, and then you can chat. Like, you don't have to pay, or this isn't like Twitch where to subscribe you have to pay a bunch of money or something. That's not the case, so don't worry about it. I apologize for it. Hopefully the bots will just get bored and leave, and we'll be able to put it back to normal at some point. But until then, we're just going to do the best we can. And with me running and doing the whole show myself quite a bit this week until Adnan gets here later this week, it's going to be hard for me to like monitor that and also deliver the takes in a timely fashion. So thank you for your patience. Welcome to Brandon Barres and welcome back to George Costanza. George, it's been a while, my friend. I did message you on Patreon because I hadn't heard from you in several months, so I'm glad to see you back. I figured you were just really busy. I know this has been a very busy season for a lot of folks. But welcome back, George. Welcome back, Brandon, Robert, Kelly, DJ Big Mike. What's up, man? Welcome, guys. We have a lot to talk about. It is a very eventful day two of Falcons training camp to get to. Mercifully, it was less hot today, so that's always nice to see. And I did a corny joke in the article, basically, you know, that the action on the field was hot enough to make up for it, which it was. It was a good day of practice. If you were worried about the offense being too good or the defense being bad or whatever, that was not the case today. It was flip-flopped. So the Falcons' defense was the more impressive of the units today, in my opinion. The coverage was smothering for much of practice. The run defense was very stout against every running back that was not named Damian Williams. So Damian Williams was excellent. We'll get to that later. And I was just really impressed by the defense overall. I did really try to monitor and take a closer look at the defense today, after focusing more on the offense yesterday, and I was able to get a very clear picture of the starting defensive line and rotation, so I can share that with you now. If you want this all written down, you don't want to hear me babble on, you know, I appreciate you tuning in. You know, make sure to like and subscribe before you leave, please. But the written version of that with the whole depth chart is on thefalcoholic.com with my recap piece that just went up, so feel free to look at that. But yeah, guys, we're going to get to a lot of my takes before we jump in full steam. Want to remind folks, like I said, to like and subscribe. I really appreciate that. For those of you here now, we are running a fundraiser for training camp. If you're wanting to support the show in that way, you can submit a question or whatever with your donation. streamlabs.com/falcoholic/tip. Link is in the show description. We really appreciate everyone who's contributed so far, so much, guys. It really makes it easier on my wallet, certainly, to get down here. I think it's important to bring you guys this coverage. You know, I've sort of been on record as feeling like, not trying to call out any Falcons media members. I think they all are doing a good job, but I think there was a void to be filled. And I think that we needed a little bit more in-depth coverage. Basically, I was like, oh, I'm trying to write these articles. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this team. You know, what would I want to see? And I'm trying to bring that to you guys. So if you're enjoying that, consider donating or just consider liking and subscribing. I really appreciate those as well. Those help us out here big time on the channel. So don't feel obligated to do so, but you know, maybe do feel obligated to subscribe. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, we got a lot to get to. Let me pull up my notes for you here. We will talk about the roster moves real quick. I don't know much about the safety they signed. Henry Black, former undrafted free agent, spent, I think, two seasons with the Packers, 2020 and 2021. He was active for 8 games with the Packers in 2020, playing mostly on special teams. And then in 2021, he was active for all 17 games, which is pretty impressive. He did play a bit of defense. He played about 24% of the snaps, so he was a rotational depth safety. And then did play almost all of the special teams snaps. So this is a big-time special teams player, which is good if you're trying to make the roster. He's listed at 6'204", and he's just 25, so still some upside there. In just, 262 snaps, he did have an interception, 2 pass deflections, and a forced fumble last year to go along with 38 total tackles. So I think that's intriguing. I mean, I won't claim to have watched any of Henry Black's film. Sorry, guys, I was busy today. But that is somewhat interesting, and the Falcons only had 5 safeties under contract going into today. So it was a lighter position group. I'm not surprised that they added more depth there. And yeah, we'll see if anything could come of that. Unfortunately, when one player enters, another must leave. And the first casualty of training camp was, surprisingly, tight end Braden Lenius, a CFL standout, former wide receiver who converted to tight end in the CFL. Lenius didn't necessarily make a bunch of big plays in Falcons camp so far, but I think he had some good catches. He looked like he was running good routes. He looked like he had good hands. Nothing egregious, not like he dropped a bunch of balls or anything like that. I think it's more of a numbers game, and he's sort of, with Felipe Franks impressing and the other tight ends impressing, they just couldn't afford the luxury of keeping an extra tight end at that spot. So we bid farewell to Braden Lenius. Thank you for your time here, Braden. I wish you the best of luck. I hope someone takes a look, picks you up, because I do think there's something there. I think there's something there with Lenius. I was projecting him to make the practice squad because he does seem to fit the mold of guys Arthur Smith likes, but there are other offensive coordinators that are similar to Arthur Smith, you know, Shanahan, all these guys that like these wide receiver to tight end converts. So I am hopeful that Lenius will get another shot, even if it's not in Atlanta. So best of luck to him. All right, let's dive right in. Yeah, Jay Diaz seen you with the hands during training camp, Kevin. Yeah, I remembered it when I tweeted it out, like, a little bit more gloriously, but it was really off of a bounce. And, you know, I had to, like, almost drop my phone to corral it, but you know, corral it I did at some point, and returned it to the team. So that was my, you know, brush with greatness, off of a deflection. So, you know, at least I can say that I've been involved. You know, I think calling it an NFL catch probably a little aggressive, so we could say I was involved in an NFL pass in some way. So that's pretty much the closest I'll probably ever get to that. But hey, it was fun, you know. I did figure I should probably move after that because I was definitely in the danger zone of that particular drill. But, you know, them's the risks you take when you go out there and stand on the sidelines. So let me get to some notes here. And like I said, first things first, the defense was the star of the show today. Not to say that the offense was bad, but after the offense actually ended up performing very, very well to start training camp, which is unusual. The defense really rebounded today. The first and second team unit is what I watched for the most part, and they did a good job, especially against the run. There were some up and downs against the pass overall, more like just really good plays by the receivers as opposed to the coverage not being up to snuff. The coverage was, usually it was like suffocating, and then there would be like Drake London in particular having a great play downfield with tight coverage on him. But they forced a ton of checkdowns by the offense. Credit to Mariota and Ridder for getting the ball out on those, but those would have been very, very minimal gains at best. And the run defense, I thought, looked really good, like I said, against everyone not named Damian Williams. So that was a very good thing to see. Oh, Ollie, are you actually from the UK, Ollie? Because we had, you know... We had someone yesterday that was pretending to be from the UK and trolling me. But I believe you have said before that you are from the UK, so I'm gonna, take a risk and believe you well, I guess with some question. But welcome to the show. Yeah, I know everyone was asking about Richie Grant yesterday, and I was saying that basically he didn't stand out, which is fine for a defensive back, honestly. Like, you don't necessarily want to stand out. He just wasn't targeted much. But Richie Grant did stand out today. I thought he looked good. The starting duo remained Richie Grant and Jalen Hawkins. Those two were the starters, and then they stayed together the whole time. They didn't split those guys up. Those two were sort of always the starting duo, and then they would rotate out. And Richie, excuse me, J, not Richie Grant or Jalen Hawkins. It would be Dean Marlowe and Eric Harris were the other two safeties that were playing with the sort of starting group. And those guys would then also sort of rotate out sometimes. But Grant was the one I think that was the most impressive today. He had a what would have been a good, quote unquote tackle, since there's very little contact today on Kyle Pitts, to stop him for like a 2 yard gain after it's sort of like a quick slant play. Also almost had a pick on a pass to Bryan Edwards, which Bryan Edwards managed to corral. Edwards is a big dude. So he was able to sort of get it off the deflection there. So that was impressive, I think, from both players. So I'm happy to obviously talk about Richie Grant. I did get a chance to talk to Richie after practice as well. So that interview will be up at some point, the transcript more than likely. So you guys can have that to look forward to. I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to transcribe an interview, but it'll happen at some point, at some point. Yeah, the other young player that everyone wants to know about is Drake London, Gurpal Singh. I may have butchered that, so I apologize if I did. But this, if everyone that's complaining about, Drake London having a quiet day one, he bounced back today. He was the number one receiver today, in terms of targets, catches, big plays, you name it. It was his show. He had a particularly impressive play, I think, in like this one-on-one session they were having, which was kind of interesting. It reminded me of the Senior Bowl a little bit, where they sort of had offense versus defense, and they would just pick guys to go. Honestly, didn't get a great look at what they were doing over there. It was like all the way on the far field, and the whole team made sort of like an echelon around them. So I didn't really get a great look at it, but apparently he had an awesome catch there, that Grady Jarrett was so impressed by. He mentioned it in his press conference. And he also had several great catches that I watched during team sessions. He had a great catch over the middle where he sort of sat down in the zone and he was able to get the pass for Mariota. Also just looked more comfortable today, after day one, sort of everyone's getting used to it. He certainly looked the part and looked comfortable today. So I'm happy to report that that Drake London is showing out and looking like he's supposed to. Jail Hutt, that's the plan, We'll see if they can defeat my new measures. I'm hoping that they will just get bored and go away, so I can take it off in a week or two. But we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, Andrew, any of the patron tiers work for the Fantasy League. You can subscribe to any tier you want. They all have access to the Fantasy League, so don't worry about that. Thank you for that, by the way, for considering that. And welcome. That does remind me to welcome all of our new patrons. We have quite a few. So that's as good a time as any to welcome these guys. Burned, Backhouse. I should actually pull up the name, before I start reading these, because I'm trying to remember. I know Burned has been around here for a while and also has been on Twitter. So welcome to Burned, Daniel First, Willie Ries, Ries, Ries. I'll say Ries. We're going with Ries. Andrew Caesar, and Ryan R, I think, are the ones that are new this month. So welcome, guys. If I probably have shouted out some of you today, like already, but welcome. Welcome, and thank you guys so much for your support. We really appreciate it. So let's get back to the takes. I know. So yeah, obviously awesome to see Drake London succeeding and playing at a high level, and we'll hope that he can continue that throughout training camp. But he certainly has looked as advertised. And Singh, no, I'm not worried about his speed. I think we've all known, or at least if you follow the channel long, you've heard me talk about it. His speed is fine. It's not going to be his calling card, but it's fine. Like, he's not running slow routes. He was getting separation of practice. I mean, he was the star of the show today. And that's without pads. He's going to look better when the pads and full contact come on too. So, it's not something that I think is a problem. I think he's fast enough. He was never going to be the 4.27 sort of downfield burner. That's one way to win deep. The other way is to just be bigger than your opponent, to have a great catch radius, to run crisp routes, that sort of stuff. And those are all things that he does well. So I think that'll be where he succeeds in the deep game, not necessarily predicated as much on the speed. The thing with the guys that aren't quite as fast is that it does take longer for them to get downfield, so you do have to have the protection hold up for that to work. That could be more of a problem, probably, than, Drake London not being able to get down there. Yeah, Jay, like I said, I thought Richie Grant looked good today. I thought he was playing tight coverage. I thought he was filling against the run like he was supposed to. There's no full contact, so I couldn't, like, evaluate his tackling or anything like that. But he was where he was supposed to be. He almost had a pick, and so I was definitely impressed by Richie Grant today. All right, moving on. Speaking of Damian Williams, who I talked about early in the show, Damian Williams actually the best rusher today. Pretty much everyone else was getting stuffed over and over again by the defense, which is a good sign for the defense. Maybe not such a great sign for the offensive line, but Damian Williams consistently was able to get big gains. I think he had like 4 or 5 on the day. He did also fumble. I think that was just a great play by the defense. They stopped him, stuffed him up at the line, and someone was able to punch the ball out. So, you know, that's going to happen. He's not someone who's ever had fumbling issues, as far as I know. So, not worried about that. But Williams is really versatile. He's well-rounded. He can play running back. He can play sort of a Cordarrelle Patterson-like role where he can split out wide. And he did that today in practice, too. Like, he's a guy that can go catch passes for you if you need. So I think he's going to remain a primary backup. And if he keeps putting on performances like today, he's a guy that's going to force himself into a rotation with the presumptive top two of like Patterson and Algier. So we'll have to see how it goes. You know, I think a guy like Damian Williams, who has more speed and explosiveness as opposed to a guy like Tyler Algier, is probably going to be the more impressive running back before we get to full contact. And I'm interested to see if that carries over once the pads come on, or if Algier is the one that sort of overtakes at that point. But again, it's tough to evaluate the run game like really in depth without full contact, because you can't evaluate broken tackles at all, which is a big part of what the Falcons are going for with their running backs. You know, these bigger backs, like a guy like Algier, that's a big part of his game. So he's not going to necessarily flash a ton until he has a chance to actually do that. Corey Cutter, I did say hi to Todd McClure today. He was at the facility. They just inducted him into the Falcons Ring of Honor. So congratulations to Todd McClure. I did elect to keep watching practice. They were doing team drills at the time, as opposed to covering McClure's press conference. I know there were a lot of people that covered it, so if you're looking for his quotes and the video of that, I'm sure you can find it out there from those other excellent Falcons media members that I was referencing earlier. I was a little too focused on the practice, I think, to get over there. But I did snap a picture, did say hi, but congratulations again to Todd McClure. All right, yeah. Singh is asking, let me know if it is Gurpal Singh, because I'm afraid I'm like butchering your first name, like I'm gonna blast it. So if that's correct, let me know, and then I will call you by your first name instead of saying your last name. But I'm just worried that I'm butchering it, and it's making me self-conscious. So Arnold Ebiketie is a good one to talk about, because speaking of the defensive line, me getting a good better look at that. Ebiketie was the starter to open up training, to open up the practice today. He was out there alongside Lorenzo Carter in that base 3-4 sort of package. It was Taquan Graham, it was Anthony Rush, and Grady Jarrett as the three sort of down linemen interior guys. And then it was Lorenzo Carter and Arnold Ebiketie at the edge spots, with Rayshon Evans and Michael Walker behind them at the true linebacker, like off-ball linebacker spots. That was the group. We saw that group quite a bit. that was more of the run-focused group, I would say, as opposed to there was some pass-rushing groupings. There was also some sort of like quasi 4-3 looks that we saw with only two down linemen. But I will say that the three guys that I saw that were sort of factoring in constantly, no matter what the package or the play was, Lorenzo Carter probably played the most reps of any defensive player. He was out there almost every play. So he's going to be a big factor. Rayshon Evans was right there with him. It looks like Rayshon Evans right now is sort of the starter. He's not getting rotated out like I expected. Like I thought they might rotate him out when it was going to a passing down situation. He's actually the one that's staying on the field, which is interesting to me. So I wonder if he's going to have more of a blitzing focused role in passing situations. Obviously without contact, we're not seeing a lot of that right now, but I'm curious about that. And then obviously Grady Jarrett on the interior was the one that got the most reps there. He didn't get like that many more than the next closest guy, but I think that's partially because Gurpal Singh. Okay. Thank you. I will say that for going forward. Thank you. I think they were somewhat limiting Grady Jarrett's reps because they know what they're going to get from Grady Jarrett. They don't need to see him play 75% of the snaps or whatever. I'll quote Aaron Freeman, you know, whatever the case may be. shout out to Aaron if he's listening to this. So he wasn't playing like the overwhelming amount that like Lorenzo Carter and Rayshon Evans were, but he would be in a real game situation. I will say that linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski, speaking of butchering names, it's spelled Koski, but it's Kowski, so just bear with me there. Kwiatkowski was getting rotated in a lot, but he was subbing with Michael Walker, not Rayshon Evans, which was surprising to me. I figured it would actually be Evans that was coming out and Kwiatkowski coming in. So it's interesting there, but Kwiatkowski certainly was a factor. He was playing quite a bit, just not quite as much as Rayshon Evans and Michael Walker. Then on the interior, we did get to see quite a bit of veteran Vincent Taylor and also Marlon Davidson, former second-round pick. Those guys were getting a lot of the snaps in the pass-rushing packages. So they were very much working with the starting group, the 1-2 sort of pods, what I'm referring to it as. So those guys were factoring in more of the pass-rushing looks. And then in terms of the other edge rushers, Ogundiji was working in a lot of the base package stuff. So he's, I think, like we predicted, probably going to be mostly a base package player. So that's where he was playing. And then D'Angelo Malone was also working pretty much exclusively with the 1-2 group. And I did want to mention, just because some people have had concerns about maybe his size and being able to hold up, he and Arnold Ebikadi look almost exactly the same. At least from, you know, the 50 feet or whatever it was that I was away. Welcome to the crew, Gurpal. Appreciate you. Welcome. So it's really not a concern to me at this point. Ebikadi is listed at 256. Malone's listed at 240. They both look 255, 256 to me. They look jacked. They look great. So I'm not concerned about Malone. In terms of size, he looks great. So we'll see if that holds up over camp. You know, guys got to drink a lot of water. You know, they got to drink a lot of water to keep that weight on, as Anthony Rush was telling us last week. But I do think that he looks good. So that was the that group. You know, in terms of the actual pass rushers and how they're performing, it's honestly really hard to evaluate these guys at all without contact. And honestly, we probably won't get a great look until the preseason because it. You don't want your pass rushers sacking your quarterback. You just don't want that to happen in training camp. So they have to hold back. There's no full context. They don't get a great opportunity to work. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. There's not going to be as many clear wins or losses one way or the other with the way things are sort of at this point in training camp. But I would say that the edge pressure was pretty good. The interior pressure looked good today. The defensive line won today. I think the offensive line definitely held their own on the first day. The offense as a whole, I think, was better yesterday. But today, the defense was better, and that included the defensive line. So I don't really have anything in particular to say about Ebikadi's play. Like I said, it's just hard to evaluate at this point in time, but the whole defensive line looked good today. I like the look of these rotations. I think this is going to be a much better group than last year. give me 1 second, guys, so I can refuel my vocal cords here with this nice, you know, local... Well, is this... It's Athens, Georgia, so that's local enough, right, Terrapin? Why is my thing blurring it? It doesn't want to show you the beer. It's this Luau IPA, so shout out to Dave Cho, who loves IPA. So this is for you, Dave. Ooh, that is tart. That's hoppy. All right. All right, George Costanza, thank you, brother, with the $20 donation. Really appreciate that, man. $20 to celebrate episode 200. Glad you could be here, George. Glad you could be here. I missed you, man. Freight has been a bit crazy past 2 months. Haven't been able to tune in live, man. I hear that. That's what I figured. So he does add, I think we're going to be more competitive late in games this season, but fans do need to brace for 3-14. The schedule is brutal. Absolutely it is. And that's part of the reason that we talked about earlier this offseason is that this team could be better than last year statistically, you know, on field, in terms of the eye test, whatever you want to say, but they could lose a lot of games because this is just a way harder schedule. So I would brace for that. You know, I have them at 6 wins, which would still be worse than last year, just because I'm higher, I think, on the prospects of Marcus Mariota in particular after Mariota. By the way, we were instructed it is Mariota, like Mario and Luigi. So we're getting all the pronunciation. We're getting it done tonight, guys. But yeah, I'm higher on Marcus Mariota than I think the NFL consensus. I've been very impressed by him, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I would 3-14 would also not shock me. And also, you know, would it be the worst thing in the world if they got the number one overall pick? I don't think so. I'm not like hoping for it. Certainly I'm hoping for them to compete for the playoffs and be a great team and all this. You know, I'm not Aaron Freeman over here advocating for tanking. Shout out to Aaron again, if he's watching. he's not really saying that, guys, just so you know. But you know, this is going to be a tough schedule. It's going to be a tough year to get through, but I think in some ways it's going to be easier than last year because I think we have, I think, the building blocks in place. We have some interesting young players to watch, to keep an eye on. And I think that will be intriguing enough to hold our attention at least over the next few months. So yeah, Corey, I haven't been to the actual Varsity like in Atlanta. There is one at the airport that I've been to a few times. I'm sure that's like nothing like the real one, but that's as close as I've gotten so far. I have been to a lot of places in Atlanta. You know, despite me living in New York, I frequently come to Atlanta. I lived in Northwest Florida for 20 years. I still have family in Atlanta. That's where I am now. So, you know, I know the city a little bit. You know, shout out to Dragon Con, by the way. If anyone's going to be at Dragon Con over Labor Day weekend, I will be there once again. So you can look forward to, you know, getting some Falcons takes from Dragon Con. Just kidding. I'm going to Dragon Con, not recording that weekend. So I will be off that weekend. But if you do see me there, you're welcome to say hi. I like the city. I love Atlanta. I miss it. I miss it when I'm gone. But I won't claim to be like a local or anything. But, I get around a little bit. I have some experience around here. All right, let's continue down. Yeah, Max, you just missed the Damian Williams talk. I was just saying he actually was the most impressive rusher in terms of work on the ground of all the running backs today. So if you're high on Damian Williams so far, you're correct. He has been good, like quite good. He was the one running back today that was getting consistent gains on the ground. So, you know, shout out to Damian Williams. If you will be able to watch the whole thing from the beginning, right after it ends, like within 30 seconds to a minute after I stop the stream, it'll be up. So you're welcome, obviously, to go back and rewatch, and, you know, I encourage you to do so. It'll also be up on the podcast feed for those of us that listen to audio. All right. Let's keep it rolling here. I will try to get to more questions too. If you guys have particularly burning ones, like I said, you could donate and I will be contractually obligated to read them, as long as it's not too crude or anything like that. But you guys are very well behaved, so I don't think we have to worry about that. But otherwise, I will try to get to as many as we can throughout the show. But there's a lot of volume, which I appreciate. So thanks, guys. The other thing I want to touch on after I take another sip of my beer is that the offensive line did get shook up today. There was rotation involved, and I will that's my tease. There was rotation at two of the three spots that Arthur Smith mentioned there would be an open competition at. So to learn the identity of these two positions, you will have to wait, you know, just 1 second here. Andrew, I miss Eric, man. I miss Eric big time. So I hope that I don't. Well, I guess I you know, selfishly hope that Eric, you know, will come back someday. But you know, let's we all know that Eric is way too big time for us at this point. So you know, what can you do? What can you do, right? But yeah, the offensive line, we did see two new players rotate in for those of you that weren't following along yesterday. The starting five was Jake Matthews at left tackle, obviously. Jalen Mayfield at left guard. Drew Dahlman actually starting at center. Obviously, Chris Lindstrom at right tackle. And then Caleb McGarry, or Chris Lindstrom at right guard, not right tackle, wow. And then Caleb McGarry at right tackle. Today, we did see rotation at left guard and center. So we had actually Elijah Wilkinson, the veteran guard tackle sort of hybrid player. He was playing left guard while Matt Hennessy came in at center. And to be honest, like I didn't notice a ton of difference. I will say that a lot of Damian Williams' big runs did come off that left side of the offensive line where Wilkinson was playing. I don't know if it was all him or all Matthews or some combination of the two. It's probably some combination of the two. So, you know, I would say that was impressive. So maybe that's encouraging. You know, I'm still sort of advocating to see a signing there if things don't go well in the preseason. But honestly, like, we won't really get a great idea of how the offensive line is doing until the preseason comes along and we see this team against some live competition. That's going to be the equalizer. Hopefully it won't be too late to get someone that they want in that case. That's all I'm going to say there. But that's sort of where we're at with the offensive line. We will see, I hope, a rotation at right tackle as well. Jermaine Ifedi, you know, I hope will factor in there. It was implied that there would be rotation there, so we'll see if that does happen as well. But you know, Arthur Smith did say like they're gonna rotate, they're gonna try to make it fair for these guys, but they do want to make a decision like somewhat quickly. I mean, I wouldn't expect there to be a decision made this week, but maybe before the first preseason game, maybe after the first preseason game is when they'll sort of settle it. But we'll see. Ollie S, how hot is it in ATL right now? I mean, yeah, I think it's like almost 90 still, even though it's dark. I think it's dark. Can't really see out the window, but it wasn't as bad today. I think it got to like just a little over 90 during practice, which is, it's manageable. Yesterday it got to like 94 at like 11 a.m., which is ridiculous. And shout out to Josh Kendall of The Athletic, who I guess was working in the tent, which is not air conditioned at all, by the way. He was there till like 3 p.m. just cranking out content. So, you know, shout out to my man Josh, but yeah, I couldn't do that. I ran to the Buffalo Wild Wings almost immediately yesterday and today. So that was my plan. I think it worked well. You know, you guys, you tell me. I think the content was flowing. You know, people had to wait maybe 15 minutes, but I was comfortable. Got to drink $3 beers, you know, so that's pretty good. But yeah, it was hot, you know, and these players are definitely feeling it. I can tell you that. There's definitely a lot of talk about that, particularly yesterday. Yeah, so that was the two changes at the offensive line. Like I said, it's kind of hard to really glean anything on the trench play until the pads come on. So, you know, not a lot of observations other than just keeping track of who's playing there. The one thing I will mention for sure is that Ryan Neusel, the UDFA guard from last year, who was like the best offensive lineman on the team last preseason, he is back, obviously, this year. He was a guy that I've called a favorite to make the practice squad, maybe a sleeper for the roster, and that gained maybe a little bit of intrigue today as Neusel was starting practice snapping with the centers, and he actually played center almost all through practice. I don't know if this is something they've been working on this offseason or if this was just the first time that we noticed it, But I did ask Arthur Smith in his press conference about Newsel playing center, and he's basically confirmed that this may be more of a permanent move than just cross-training. Obviously, we know Newsel can play guard, so he played that all last year, so he knows how to play the guard already. It seems like maybe they're going to give him a real opportunity to compete at center, maybe be, you know, obviously the ability to play center at least a competent level. That's important for a back end of the roster guy. If you're trying to be that final offensive lineman, you have to play two positions. You're not keeping three centers. You have to at least, and you're not keeping, you know, three extra guards either. So, you know, you have to be able to play a variety of positions. So him being able to play center, even if it's at just a passable level, would be big for his chances of making the roster and the practice squad. That's something to monitor for sure. I do really like Newsel. He's still in that 3-4 pod where he's working mostly with the reserves, but I like his chances still. And we'll see if he can carry over last year's strong performance to more good things in 2022. So that's definitely something to monitor. Let me see what else we got here. Brandon Brass, thoughts on Julio Jones joining Tom Brady? You know, I'll say it's just like that meme, you know, the top 10 anime betrayals. That's how I feel about Julio going to the Bucks. I'm just not going to think about it, you know. I'm upset, obviously, but there's nothing you can do. I mean, Julio's we talked about it last night a little bit when Adnan was here. That was a good show, by the way. Adnan, we flipped the script. Adnan interviewed me. Because I was at practice, so you know that was a little bit interesting. If you want to see that little role reversal going on there, but I'm upset. But there's no way not to be upset about it. But it's sort of, you know, I get it. He wants to get a ring, and the Bucks probably present the best opportunity to do so that I could think of. So I certainly hope that he stays healthy and is able to, you know, be at his best, as long as that best is not against the Falcons. You know, but, you know, he's technically, he went to a division rival, and that's a big no-no, but, you know, there will be a reconciliation. Julio will be a Hall of Famer with the Falcons. He'll come back to the Falcons. He'll be in the Ring of Honor, all that stuff. So I'm not worried about it long-term. It is annoying. It is, you know, hurtful. You know, he hurt me real deep, but, you know, what can you do? This happens with the guys late in their career. It's happening with Matt Ryan, obviously going to the Colts, you know, not nearly as big of a problem, but this stuff happens. So don't let it get you too down, but it's frustrating. You know, it's always frustrating. J.L. Hunt is bringing up Ryan Jensen of the Bucks got carted off at practice. From what I've heard, it is almost certainly season ending, or at least a major injury of some kind. It was all the buzz after practice ended in Atlanta even. So obviously I feel for Ryan Jensen that's really rough. So I think that I'm hoping it's not bad for him, but it's not looking good so far, unfortunately. George Costanza with another $20. Thank you so much, George. Appreciate that, man. He says 200 episodes. Yeah, I know. I can't believe it. Technically, we've had a lot more because, like, some of them aren't numbered. I really should, like, be more diligent about, like, numbering all of them. But, yeah, at least 200 numbered episodes is a big deal. So, George has been here almost the entire time, I think, especially since we went to YouTube, at least. So, shout out to George, too, for that. But how did Richie Grant look? Still should have taken Liam Eichenberg. If you're going to draft a second-round bust, you should at least draft a 6'6", 325 offensive lineman. That's a bust. And then the second question, do you think Deion Jones is going to still be on the week one roster? Any other news there on Jones? Yeah, so honestly, Richie Grant has been playing with the starters all camp. He and Jalen Hawkins are the two starters, which I'm happy about. I think pretty much everybody's happy about that. Those two are getting extensive work together in particular. Like, they're not splitting them up or rotating out other guys. I think they're really trying to grow that relationship. Day one was quiet for him. I mean, he didn't really get targeted or anything like that. So, yeah, Jason Gaines is a big OG as well. Shout out to Jason. I mean, with Grant, day one didn't really see a ton just because he wasn't really targeted. But day two, today, he definitely was in the mix a lot more. I thought he looked pretty good. I thought he was in the right place pretty much every play that I saw. He did. He would have had a good, you know, tackle, quote unquote, on Kyle Pitts for like a 2 yard gain on a slant. He was right there in the right position to almost break up the pass. He also had a near interception on a pass to Bryan Edwards that Edwards was still somehow able to catch, even with the sort of deflection off of Grant's hands. So I did think Grant looked good today, like encouragingly good. We'll have to see, you know, how that continues. But so far, so good there. And then Deion Jones, will he be on the week one roster? I seriously doubt it. I know Aaron Freeman is like all but saying that he has sources saying telling him that Deion Jones is going to be cut if they can't find a trade partner. I'm inclined to believe that. You know, Aaron doesn't, you know, as much, whatever you guys might think of Aaron, Aaron doesn't make anything up. If he says that he's being told something, it's legitimate. So I believe it. I don't think he's going to be on the week one roster. I will continue to project him on the roster until he's gone, out of respect for him, because look, if he's here, he's going to play. Like, he's going to be on this team. He's going to make it. But will he be here? I don't think so. There hasn't been any other news. He is on the PUP list to start camp. I haven't heard any other updates on that. Arthur Smith was very noncommittal about when he would be back. He was basically saying, like, you know, we'll take it day by day. We'll see when he's ready. As far as I know, it's not far off. Like, he was expected to be right around the time training camp got back. So I'm not, like, alarmed or anything at this point. Now, if it's, like, a week into the preseason and he's still not back, then it's a little more concerning. And, yeah, Corey, you know, it's a good point. Like, I don't know who would be willing to trade necessarily for that contract. Keep in mind, they don't take on the full cap hit. I will pull that up real quick because that is a common thing that people get caught up on is, yes, the cap number is really high. Like, I mean, it's absurdly high. You know, if you look at just over the cap, it says that he's, you know, over $20 million technically against the cap. But whoever's trading for him, they're not on the hook for all that money. They are only on the hook technically for, I believe, what is it, Ed? It's a little over 10. I think like 10.1 million or something like that. So while that's still a lot, that's a much more reasonable number because the Falcons have to pay his prorated bonus and they have to pay his roster bonus, which already guaranteed they're not getting out of that. And that's like more than half or right about half of his cap hit. So they owe that. Whoever's trading for him only owes him about 10.1. So that's more reasonable. The Falcons aren't going to get a premium pick or anything for him. But, you know, I think they would be willing to move him for like a 6th round pick just to clear the cap because clearing his contract via trade actually saves them a lot of money. It saves them like, I don't know, $9 million or something like that, like almost $10 million. So that's a lot of money. That's nice to have. They'll save a lot of money next year too. If they were to cut him, they save only about $1 million. So it's not really a big savings this year. Obviously, they get a lot of savings next year. And they eat more of the hit this year, but you know, it is what it is. I think one way or another, he's probably going to be playing elsewhere this year. I would prefer it to be via trade to a place that he wants to go, like Dallas. I still think that makes a ton of sense. Dallas needs linebackers bad. Dan Quinn's there. That was always the best fit for him. So I'm hoping that's where he is. But you know, cutting him isn't just about the money. I think that honestly, they just, as harsh as it is to say, I don't think they want him on the team, to be honest with you. I think that they want, and not because they like hate Deion Jones or something. I think it's because they want the young guys to play. They want the young guys to get out there. They want the young guys to get the reps. They don't want to have to split reps with Deion Jones. If you keep him, you're going to have to play him. Like, he's going to be at least a sub-package linebacker for you. And that's probably the role they sort of envision for Troy Anderson, who also is just a better fit because he's way bigger. You know, he's like 3 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier, 20 pounds heavier, whatever it is. So, you know, I think that they don't want to stunt the other guy's growth on the roster just to keep Deion Jones around. They don't necessarily need the money from his cut. Obviously, it would be nice. They'll take the $1 million and eat more of the hit this year if they have to. I think it would be nice to trade him. I think they would like to do that, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. We got Jason Gaines with the $2. Thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate that. He says, Kevin, since you're in ATL, hit the Quick Trip. I have been to Quick Trips before. Very, very nice gas station. Get some Surge soda. It's made by Coca-Cola and only available in Metro ATL. Also, go hit a Braves game. Experience the battery. tour Truist Park. It's well worth it. Yeah, if I can make it work, I will try to get down to a Braves game at some point. I'm not really a big baseball guy. Famously, the last time I watched a Braves game, Acuna tore his ACL. So I've been told by Gina Thomas that I'm not allowed to watch games. I did see like part of a game in the airport the other day, and nobody got hurt. So I think I might be safe now to start watching again. But you know, I have to be really careful with that. But it does seem like a good time. Seems like a really nice field. I believe I tried Surge like once. My cousin was like obsessed with Quick Trip. Like back when I would visit here a long time ago. And we definitely hit that up then. So I think it's entirely possible I had Surge then, but I don't remember it. So I may have to try that again. All right. More notes to get to before we wrap it up today. Let's see. Yeah, I would say the one big thing from yesterday that I don't know that everyone has seen yet is Josh Kendall of The Athletic got quarterback's coach Charles London to sort of admit that Marcus Mariota is going to be the starter, which I thought was really funny. I mean, they've sort of tiptoed around it all offseason, but more or less Charles London said, like, Marcus Mariota is our starter. And Arthur Smith actually, like, called him out at the beginning of practice to say he, you know, put a savvy veteran move on Charles London, who, you know, is sort of a newer quarterback's coach. So that was funny. But, you know, he didn't deny it or anything like that. So Mariota's almost certainly going to be the starter week one. And it's not surprising. Mariota's looked better. Mariota has looked good. Like, going from Matt Ryan to any other quarterback, I assume there was going to be a huge drop-off in the quality of practice and the professionalism in any way you want to cut it. Matt Ryan is a class act. He's a legend. He's the best quarterback this franchise has ever seen. So expecting anyone to come in and replicate that is foolish. Like, that's just not going to happen 99% of the time. I will really credit Mariota on his professionalism. He's saying all the right things. He's behaving in a very professional manner. I really like what I've seen from him so far. And I think, honestly, he has a very good command of the offense already. He looks sharp. He looks confident. He's been accurate. You know, I think he's showing you everything you want to see so far at this point in the offseason. Very impressive start to camp. This offense, it hasn't been sloppy. A lot of times, even with veteran quarterbacks and systems that they've been in, the offense can be sloppy at the beginning of camp. A lot of new faces, a lot of moving parts, that sort of thing. It has not been sloppy this year. I would say that it's been pretty sharp, especially day one to day that the defense did rebound in a big way. But it wasn't, I think, that the offense wasn't functioning. It's more that the defense just played really well. So that's really meaningful to me, I think. I think if, you know, it... I think it's important to sort of keep that in mind. I think Marcus Mariota may outperform expectations this year, but considering that, you know, what NFL GMs ranked him as like the 31st starter in the NFL, he wouldn't really have to do much to outperform that, right? Like, he could just be passable and be better than that. So I think Mariota is going to come in closer to like 20th, which is, you know, like a little bit below average, but basically average. You know, fairly average NFL quarterback. If he stays healthy, that's the big thing. I think he could be a pretty good bridge starter and an extremely high-end backup for you. You know, I don't know if they'll be willing to pay his cap hit next year, which I think is like $14 million, if they wanted to keep him next year, to be a very high-end backup. But if he plays really well and the Falcons are better than expected, then that $14 million is going to look like a bargain. So, you know, we'll see. But so far, so good on Mariota. And that's not really to say that Ridder has been bad. I would say Ridder has been better than expected too. I would just say Mariota has been like much better than expected. Ridder has been sharp. They've been really doing an interesting thing at practice where they have Ridder and Mariota standing right next to each other for the throwing drills for the receivers and the tight ends. And they basically have them doing the exact same drill at the exact same time, throwing to the exact same receivers. And then they just switch sides and then they throw to the other, you know, receivers. So they're both getting a chance to throw to every single receiver, tight end, running back on the roster every day in practice, the same amount of reps. These guys are basically a package deal. They're both doing the exact same things, learning to do everything the same day, at the same time, same plays, same tempo, no training wheels for Desmond Ridder. And that alone, I think, is impressive for a rookie to come in he's, you know, he does play when they split into like the first, second team and the third, fourth team. Like Ritter will go play with the third, fourth team because Falcons only have two quarterbacks. Technically, Felipe Franks is still a quarterback, by the way, but he's going to play mostly at tight end. He's more of like an emergency quarterback. Ritter has been good, but Mariota has been very good. And I think it's unlikely that Ritter's going to surpass Mariota at any point. During training camp and the preseason, at least. During the season, who knows? We'll see what happens there. I do think that Ritter will play this year. I think that it's important that he does. Now, it's one thing if the team is just... Look, it's like 2008. Like, quarterback switch, all this upheaval, and the Falcons are expected to be like the worst team in the NFL, and then they're good all of a sudden, and they actually make the playoffs. Like, that's the sort of season they would need to have for Ritter to not play, in my opinion. Because that would mean that Mariota is basically keeping the team relevant in the playoffs all year. So in that case, I don't think he'll play, but in every other scenario, which is probably like 80-90% of the realistic scenarios, Mariota is probably going to get benched after the Falcons are out of playoff contention. Right now, my thought is that's going to be right around week 11. I'm penciling in Ritter to start that week against the Bears. I think that's a logical time to do it, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. If the Falcons are, like, really, really bad, he might play earlier. If they're competitive, might be a little bit later. I think he'll get at least a few games in. And we do know, unfortunately, that Mariota has often had problems with injuries, not necessarily season-ending ones, but getting banged up, missing a game or two here or there. So in that case, I think it will be Ritter that plays. I really don't think they're going to bring in a veteran quarterback to be the backup. I think what we're seeing right now, the Falcons really only have two quarterbacks in camp. That is very unusual. There's almost always three quarterbacks in camp, sometimes four, five even. Look around the league. Like, this is unusual. The Falcons are basically giving all the reps to these two quarterbacks. Felipe Franks will get some, we've been told, but, you know, maybe in the preseason we'll see Franks play like the fourth quarter or something. Who knows? But like, they trust Ritter a lot at this point. Like, if they, and I don't, I would not be surprised if they don't bring in a veteran, because they do trust Ritter that much. And I think that really is meaningful for Ritter's projection, for how he looks, how he's playing, all those things. So just because he can't beat out Mariota, who's probably better than you think, doesn't mean that Ritter's bad, or having a bad offseason or whatever. So we'll see. It probably depends on how good the team is as to how early we see Ritter. All right. More beer. Ooh, that's tart. All right. Let's see. Yeah. Returner takes. All right, guys, you ready? We didn't really see a lot of actual returns, but we did. I did actually get a chance to see the guys that are involved in the returner battle. Avery Williams is the favorite, obviously. He's getting a ton of reps there. The other guy that's getting a lot of reps is wide receiver Damier Byrd, who has returned kicks and punts before. He did so with the Panthers early in his career. Those are the two guys that are like mostly involved. Man, the streamers, the spammers are back, you guys. But guess what? They're defeated by my 5-second slow-mo. They can only get off two trolley messages. So every time they do this, just so you guys know, like every time they do this, they have to make an account, a new account. They have to subscribe, they have to wait 5 minutes, then they have to put in messages, and like this is very, like, man, they are very determined. So I guess I'm honored. I don't know. But thanks for the subscription. At least I'm getting a bunch of free subs from all these spammers, right? anyway, so the two guys that seem to be like the favorites in the competition right now, Avery Williams and Damier Byrd. There are other guys involved. But otherwise, like, those two are the ones getting most of the reps. Just for the record, the other guys involved, Olamide Zaccheaus, I think he was getting like the third most reps. He's probably like the emergency backup if the starter were to get hurt. I don't know that he's really going to factor into the actual competition. And then Cameron Batson and Brian Edwards, who, again, I think these are mostly guys that are just getting reps there as like a backup. That would be my thought. That's my prediction there. I think it's really going to come down to Avery Williams and Damier Byrd. And again, I think Williams is the favorite there, but we'll have to see how that shakes out in the preseason, if they really do give Byrd more of a shot at that job. Let's see. Yeah, at corner, because we haven't talked about that yet. Mike Ford, the veteran special teams ace, Mike Ford. He was actually getting some looks with the starters. This is a guy that has played a little bit of defense, but mostly been a very good gunner in his career. He was getting some reps with the starters playing in the slot, so that's meaningful. I think that really is showing that there's a lot of potential for him to make the roster, maybe that he should even be considered a roster favorite. Maybe not quite roster lock, but roster favorite, certainly. He was sort of rotating a lot with Isaiah Oliver. And, you know, to be honest, I would say that Isaiah Oliver doesn't look full speed yet. He is wearing a knee brace, but he was participating fully in all of the team drills, all the regular drills, you know, everything. So that's good to see him back out there. He was not participating much in the offseason program. So I think that's encouraging. You know, we'll see if Oliver takes over that starting job pretty much entirely once he's back to full speed. And then we'll go from there. Also, Darren Hall is getting a lot of work with the starters. He's sort of more of that versatile backup. He played a lot on the outside and also rotated into the slot some. So that's sort of the state of that the cornerback situation. At tight end, honestly, Parker Hesse. You know, Anthony Firkser is sort of the clear-cut number two, but Parker Hesse, honestly, the clear-cut number three, which I was sort of thinking earlier in the offseason. I really did like John Fitzpatrick and his potential to be sort of the Lee Smith in this offense, but Hesse has been involved extensively with the starters. He has been utilized as a blocker. He's been lined up in the backfield sometimes. He's been sort of flexed out wide. They're using him in a very versatile manner on a lot of different plays. He caught a lot of passes today as well. So that's definitely something to monitor. I don't think Fitzpatrick's in danger of not making the roster or anything, but it could be that Hesse is ahead of him on the depth chart to start the season. And then got to shout out Felipe Franks, quarterback, tight end extraordinaire. Look, he had a great play today. He had a great play yesterday too. Franks caught like a big long pass from Desmond Ridder that probably would have been a touchdown in a real game. You know, they sort of blow the play dead as soon as somebody puts a hand on him, but it felt like he had a step and that hand probably wouldn't have brought him down. So that was an impressive play. Shout out to Felipe Franks. Honestly, that may be why the team did elect to move on from Braden Lennius, is because Franks has been impressive as a tight end. You know, hopefully he can be a little more comfortable playing it this year now that he has the experience. But that, hey, shout out to Felipe Franks, man. Maybe the, you know, you could say the poor man's Taysom Hill, but he's more like the smart man's Taysom Hill, because you're not paying him, like massive money to be your Taysom Hill, which, you know, is maybe not a position that you want to pay massive money to. And I agree with the Falcons approach more than the Saints approach. Let's see. I know people were asking about the state of the wide receiver group. I would say there is like a clear sort of cutoff line with the guys that are with the sort of 1-2 pod group, the starting group versus the reserve group. And those guys, obviously, London is involved with that group. London was like the clear cut one today. Interestingly, they have London go last in all the drills, oftentimes by himself. Kind of interesting. The starter locked in guys tend to go first. So like, for instance, Kyle Pitts and Alamide Zaccheaus are the first two guys in most drills, and Drake London's last. I don't know if they're just making him be last because of his, you know, because he's a rookie and they're trying to make it work for it or something. I don't know. It's kind of silly, but there is a clear dichotomy. You know, the top guys would be like London, Alamide Zaccheaus. Those are sort of the clear cut two, but right behind them, Bryan Edwards, Damir Byrd, Auden Tate, and Kadarius Hodge. Those are sort of that group. Those are the roster favorites. Those are the guys that if they keep six, I think they'll keep all of those guys, all six. If they keep five, it's going to get interesting. You know, Auden Tate was the best receiver out there yesterday, had a quieter day today. You know, we'll see how that battle goes. I would say that Kadarius Hodge hasn't been as sort of flashy as Tate as a receiver. He has been fine, like perfectly fine as your wide receiver five, fine. And he is an elite special teams player. So it really depends on what the Falcons want from that last spot. You know, we'll see. The thing is, like, could you get away with putting Kadarius Hodge on the practice squad and elevating him sometimes? Probably. Could you get away with doing that with Auden Tate? I don't think so. So that may factor in as well. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, and people mentioned Frank Darby. Honestly, like the first day, Darby had like two or three drops in drills, and I was like, oh man, I'm feeling bad for this guy. But his routes are good. Like, he looks quick. I think he looks fully healthy, fully recovered from, you know, his time off, back to full speed, all this stuff. I thought Darby has looked pretty sharp in drills. He hasn't really, he has made a few catches in team stuff, not necessarily as impressive as these other guys, but look, like, Darby's working with that 3-4 group. I don't think he's, like, off the team. I think Darby is probably slated to the practice squad this year. I think that doesn't mean his career is over. Corey, yeah, to answer that question, I don't think Darby's going to make the team. I think it would be really difficult for him to do so. He would probably have to outplay Kadarryl Hodge or Auden Tate. Like, if they keep 6, his chances are better. So I don't think it's particularly likely. If they keep 5, I would say it's almost 0, because he would have to beat out both Hodge and Auden Tate. I just really have a hard time seeing that happening. But I do think he's probably a lock for the practice squad. I think they do like him. He seems, and like, not just like his on-field stuff. I think the team really likes him as a person, as a player. He's always out there chopping it up and joking with folks, and all the coaches seem to really like him. So I think everyone's pulling for him to make it. You know, we'll have to see him do more this year than he did last year. Like, he does, like Dave is saying, like, Darby needs to be a star in the preseason. He needs to really stand out if he wants to make this team, or it's going to be very difficult. So that's sort of where we are with that. I will say also that there are some other guys out there that look pretty good. You know, like Tyshawn James certainly fits the archetype. Stanley Berryhill looks like a sharp route runner and has, you know, an A+ name grade. So that's obviously going to help him. Cameron Batson did some good things today, the veteran who has experience with Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. So I think this is a pretty spry wide receiver group from top to bottom. That, you know, there's a lot of guys here. I think it's going to be hard for any of these sort of 3-4, you know, third, fourth string reserve sort of depth guys to make the leap to the first string. I think it's going to be tough for them. I think that they're all competing for possibly up to as many as 3 practice squad spots, to be honest. The Falcons kept a lot of receivers on the practice squad last year. I think they will continue to do so. And yeah, Corey, I do like Hodge to make the team because he's an elite gunner. He's one of the NFL's best gunners. That is an important position. The Falcons are seeming to really emphasize the special teams aspect, you know, signing guys like Mike Ford, Kadarryl Hodge, drafting somebody like, you know, D'Angelo Malone, great special teams player, Troy Anderson, potentially elite special teams player. Obviously, that's not all you want from those guys, but early on in their career, you can get very good special teams player for them. I think they're emphasizing getting really good at something that they can get good at without having to invest, like, a ton of resources and money. And that's, like, let's try to get elite special teams. Let's do really well on special teams. Let's get our kicking game, our return game, our coverage game on point. We can make our special teams one of the best units in the NFL, and then we'll have that in place once the rest of our team is, you know, catching up to that later. It's cheaper to do that on special teams. So I think that is very important to them, and we'll see how that goes. Jason Gaines with the $2. Thank you so much, Jason. Says, Kevin, look up Mariota getting drafted into... See, I'm doing it again. Mariota. Look up Mariota getting drafted in 2015 NFL draft. Goodell mispronounced Mariota as Mariotto. Typical Goodell blunder. I believe Mariota is the only quarterback in a playoff game to throw a touchdown to himself with the Titans in 2017. Yes, that was a great play. Everyone needs to go watch that play. It is really funny. And honestly, if you are looking to get a glimpse at what Marcus Mariota can be, watch his last start. Well, it wasn't really a start, but the game that he played a lot in for Oakland in 2020, watch that game. It will make you very high on Marcus Mariota, because he played great. That was the last time he played really a meaningful amount of snaps in a game. He took that team down to a comeback win, and that win ended up being absolutely vital for their playoff run, the playoff hopes at least. I can't remember exactly how that year played out for the Raiders, but it was an excellent game from him. He looked great. He looked sharp. He threw a bunch of touchdowns. He ran the ball well. He looked in command. He looked totally unfazed by the game situation. And honestly, I'm talking about the Raiders versus Chargers game. Gurpal, that's the one I'm mentioning. it's very encouraging. Like, watch that game. You'll come away impressed with that performance. That's what he can be. He hasn't been that consistently. And honestly, he has played well for long stretches, but the injuries have always been a thing that sort of kept him from taking the next step. He's had a couple of years off, a couple of years to continue to grow, to continue to learn, hopefully to continue shaping his body to prepare for the stresses of an NFL season and maybe correct some of those biomechanical things that may have been causing those recurring injuries. Some of those injuries were just freak stuff, like the nerve damage in his throwing hand. I mean, that's a very freakish injury. You don't necessarily see that very often, so that's not necessarily something that makes him injury prone. That's just bad luck. It happens to the best of us. So, you know, I'm higher on him, I think, than I thought I would be at this point. And part of that is his play. Part of that is seeing what he's done recently. But there is hope. There is a universe where Marcus Mariota is actually a solid starter for this team, and he keeps this offense not only watchable but competent. You know, maybe the presence of that quarterback who is a threat as a runner, as beautiful as it was to watch, you know, gazelle person Matt Ryan with those long strides get out there and run a couple times. Like, he was not someone that was a threat as a runner. And I think, in general, that ability is overblown. Like, the mobile quarterback is kind of overblown, particularly when it comes to avoiding sacks. Obviously, as a offensive weapon, I think it's not overblown. I think that's important to have, and that's why we're seeing teams start to emphasize it more and more. But there is a real possibility that Mariota's better than expected. So keep that in your mind as potential. It was fun. You know, it could be fun. You know, that aspect of it could be fun. The offensive line might be very unfun, and that could really put a damper on this whole thing. Even if Mariota's playing well. So that is the great equalizer. We'll see how that goes over the rest of camp. Hal Snipes with the last question. How has Tyler Allgeier looked so far? And like I said at the beginning of the show, Hal, it's pretty tough to evaluate the runners without full contact, especially someone like Tyler Allgeier, who is a physical running back who's going to make a lot of his plays after contact, running through tackles, breaking tackles. That's what he did. You know, I think he like led college football in broken tackles or something like that, or missed tackle rate forced or something like that. Like, that's his game. He's not going to get an opportunity to do that without full contact. I think he's looked fine. He's caught the ball well. I know that was a concern by some folks that, like, he didn't catch a ton of passes. He looks fine catching the ball. I wouldn't say he's ever going to be, like, a huge weapon there, but he could catch dump-offs. You know, we'll see how he looks in pass pro. I haven't seen a lot of reps of that yet. Like I said, it's not really full contact, so we'll see. But I think he's looked fine. He's looked about as expected. I wouldn't shift my projections for him at all. I think that he's still probably in line to be the running back two, to take a lot of the early down carries. You know, Damian Williams, if he keeps playing really well, he could sort of threaten to make this like a three-headed backfield. We'll see. I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world either, but I think he's been fine. I haven't been, you know, worried about anything I've seen from him. Honestly, no one has really worried me in terms of what I've seen. I think the rookies have all played decently well. You know, it's interesting that, like, Troy Anderson, for example, like, he did get a few opportunities with the starters today. He actually ended up in coverage on Kyle Pitts on a play. And I thought he did pretty well. You know, he was in tight coverage. Kyle Pitts obviously still made the catch, but you could see the athleticism every time Troy Anderson's out there. He's so damn fast. Like, it is incredible how quickly he covers space. He's fun to watch. He mostly is working with the third and fourth string, and I think that's probably, he'll be a reserve this year. I think that's what it's going to happen. But at any time, the team could be like, you're ready. We're putting you in there, and he could be a starter and be an impact player for this team. I don't know when that will happen. Will it happen week one? I don't think so. Will it happen week four? Probably not. Week 10? Could. You know, by the end of the season? I think so. And this is a guy that's going to play on special teams from day one. This is going to be a guy that's going to do that. And we'll see how creative they can get with him. You know, can they carve out a sort of sub-package role for him? Can they carve out a coverage-based role for him? Because I think he can definitely do that. He's very talented in coverage. Former quarterback, too. So this is a guy that knows what quarterbacks are trying to do. He knows how to read them and see what they're doing. You know, NFL quarterbacks are obviously going to be a little bit more savvy with that stuff. But this is a guy that has all of the basics to be a good coverage player already. He just has to sort of put it all together and get his reps and go up from Montana State. Shout out to Bozeman, by the way. Go from that to the NFL. It's going to take time. And after he is, after he has, you know, acclimated to that, we'll get to see what he can do. And I think we'll get to see that this year at some point. Probably not a bunch, but hopefully a little bit. And the sky's the limit. That's why you get excited about taking someone like that, because just like a Jordan Davis was a first-round pick for a reason, because he is a unicorn-type player on the defensive line. Troy Anderson is a unicorn-type player at linebacker at, like, seven other positions. Yeah, I mean, Hal mentioned it. Like, he's a 10.0 at running back, too. So, like, if this linebacker thing don't work out, play him at tight end, play him at running back, see what you got. Like, he can play all these positions. I think I like the vision for him at linebacker, where he can really be a matchup eraser, be sort of what teams were hoping Isaiah Simmons could be. He's like a bigger Isaiah Simmons, right? So a bigger, more athletic Isaiah Simmons. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, and Robert Kelly, I mean, there's no reason technically he couldn't play safety. I mean, he's more athletic than a lot, if not all NFL safeties. You know, most NFL safeties he's going to be more athletic than. So I think that the safety requires a lot more mental game than linebacker does. Linebacker things are a little bit more condensed. You can play a lot of man. You just go follow that guy. You know, keep your footwork up. Phil, you know, I think he's going to have a faster path to the field at linebacker than safety. Safety's a lot, you know, more mental. But eventually, you know, who knows? Jason Gaines, make him your Wildcat quarterback. Yeah, I mean, if the Falcons didn't have guys that were athletic like Ritter and Mariota that are going to be just fine in terms of, like, quarterback sneaks and stuff like that, then I would say, like, yeah, if it was still Matt Ryan here, absolutely. Put Troy Anderson at quarterback. He's very good at that. He was excellent at it in college. All-conference player at quarterback because he was such a dynamic runner. They get, like, 1,400 rushing yards at a quarterback. So that is all my notes. Corey Carter, are you doing a show tomorrow? I'm planning to do one every day that there's a practice while I'm here, which will be through next Wednesday, except for actually next Wednesday, because I do have to get on a plane pretty soon after practice, so I don't think I can squeeze that in. But other than that, I will try to do a show every day. We'll have guests for some. We're going to see if maybe we could do one with Adnan on Saturday. I don't know if it'll be like live in the same room recording. That would be fun. But if not that, it'll be sort of separate, but, you know, at the same time again. But guys, I do really appreciate all your support. I appreciate all the donations tonight. Really, really appreciate it. It's definitely helping to take the sting out of these trips. It stung my wallet quite a bit. You guys know how expensive gas and stuff is right now. I know George does, because he's dealing with it every day as a freight driver. So Uber back into a show from the Uber, that would be fun. But no, I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. And for the audio listeners, if you guys want to donate but you can't catch the live show, I will absolutely read any donations you put in on the next live show, so don't worry about that. Any donations you have will show up in sort of the tank, and I'll be able to get to those. So thank you for that. Like I said before, like and subscribe, all that good stuff. Really appreciate that. Check out the Patreon if you're interested in getting in on those patron fantasy leagues. The signups for those are going on right now. It looks like we are going to do two still. We'll see how many more people come in. We may have to do a third, or we may go to like 12, 14 teams, depending. We'll see. But those are a lot of fun. If you're interested in that, it's patreon.com/falcoholiclive. Like I said earlier, any tier gets you in. Whatever you feel, you know, what do they say at church? Whatever you feel led to give. I'm just kidding. You know, just any tier you want. We appreciate all of it. We appreciate all the support, all the chat, all the liking and subscribing. Leave comments. Those supposedly leaving comments helps with the algorithm. So if you want to do that, we appreciate that. I try to respond to comments too. George is not going to be in fantasy. Oh man, that's crushing, George. That was good. But I understand, brother. I know you're busy. Thank you for making the time tonight. Good to see you too. I have watched a ton of Seinfeld since last time you were here. Like, I've seen a lot of Seinfeld, so I'm excited to do some Seinfeld jokes with you next time you're around, because I'm enjoying it. It's a good show. So, guys, again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I forgot to hit record for the podcast version of the show, so it will be delayed by about an hour while I record this again. luckily I don't have to actually say it again because YouTube saves a copy of it. But yeah, I will be back out there bright and early at Flowery Branch. Anyone else, tomorrow is the first public practice, so if you're so inclined, you could head out there. I think I'm going to wash my Falcoholic shirt tomorrow and wear a different shirt. But on Saturday, I will be wearing, you know, the gray Falcoholic shirt, so it'll be easy to spot. I'll be on the sideline running around, probably, to cover all the various drills and stuff. So if you're there, feel free to say hi. I'd love to meet you guys. And yeah, I just really appreciate all the support, all the new follows, all the interactions on Twitter, all the sharing, all that stuff. It really means a lot to me. So thank you guys so much. I will see you tomorrow, either at camp itself or on tomorrow night's episode of the Falcoholic Live. Until then, guys, have a great night. Talk to you then. See you, folks.